Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, and it's Wednesday night. Tonight's the night that we minister to everybody. If you'd be patient to stay on the show long enough, if next time you call in on Wednesday night or any night, you want to get in 15 minutes early, you can do that. You just call in at 15 minutes early, and that way you can get in line first. That would be awesome. Make it a little bit easier for you if you have a time schedule going on. So, jump in there and do that. You can call at, show starts at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can call in at 8:45 Central Standard Time. So call in and get in early. That way you can get ministered to early. A lot of people know how to do that because they've been doing it for a long time. They're very smart. All right, I'm actually driving down the road. I don't know if you can hear the background of the tires roaring, but I'm actually traveling down the road, leaving Dallas on my way back to about a three-hour drive and the other side of Texas, so toward the middle of Texas, heading that way right now. So if you hear roaring in the background and horns blowing, telling me to move out of the way, it's not. You know that's what's going on. All right, Wednesday night's a little bit easier night to minister because I can just do a lot of talking. And all right, so we're going to take callers here in just a little bit. We'll get ready for that. We're going to minister to you. If I get off a little early tonight, I know you understand because I'm actually on the road traveling. I used to do my shows on the road, driving down the road. I've done it before. It's been a while. But here I am doing it again. And it's just kind of fun. Brings back old memories. So I used to travel a little bit more than I do now. All right, so pray for me as to do something I haven't done in a while. All right. All right. We have been learning about things, and we're talking about treasures. I'm getting together a little treasures mail out that we have going out on the 22nd of January. We're going to have the stamp. Hopefully they'll all get stamped the same day. It's on a Saturday, January 22nd. We're sending out some mail to all of our friends who have given to us over the years. And I'll send you a little treasure chest, you know, kind of a prophetic act for the coming year, believing God for all kinds of treasures, and yes, very specifically, financial treasures to come in through the market trading gift that God has given me. It's not that I sit around and figure out charts and that kind of thing, like most people do. They're very good at it. I'm not. I strictly get words from the Lord, and he shows me what's going to happen. As you guys remember, I think the last thing that we got concerning the major move of the market was in February 24th on a Monday, when God told me there was going to be a head-on collision in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Of course, that, as you all know, those of you who listened for a while know that that's exactly what happened. The Dow Jones Industrial Average went down down tonight. It went from about 10,000 points, something like that, in just a few weeks, which was totally shocking. The whole world was seemed to be falling apart at the time, and it sure felt like it, but the word we had was, it's going to feel like it's falling apart. It's going to sound like it's falling apart, but it is not falling apart. Yeah. So so if you remember all that information, that's kind of what we're talking about tonight. Information about the market, about the stock market, about the financials of the world. God has given me a gift. He always shows me the major things that are going on. So that's kind of what's going on, and we're sending that out, that mail out, on the 22nd of January to coincide with, prophetically, with 2022 on January the 22nd for the beginning of a brand new year, a year of treasures. And we're going to be talking about that off and on in the next few months as God gives us the grace. So we're going to be teaching about that, teaching about how that, yes, even when you get blessed financially, you know, will you keep it? You know, some people win the lottery and they, you know, they can win millions of dollars and that money's gone in no time. It just kind of falls through the hose. Nobody really knows where it went exactly. Why does that happen? Because they don't have a covenant with God. If you don't have a covenant with God, you know, you have no protection. You have no grace. You have no discipline. You have no power to maintain and even multiply. You know, like I say, the parable of the talents was an amazing revelation, because what happened there was they kind of like won the lottery to a certain degree, in a small degree, but they got certain talents of money, certain amounts of money, and according to how they did with them, God increased them and blessed them, right? So some people, you give them money, like that money was given to them according to each one's talent. The master knew the talent that was with all three of them, and so he dealt with them according to the measure that they could handle. So he gave one talent, one two talents, one five talents. Two of them doubled theirs, and the one who had one took his and hid his in fear. Why? Why did he do that? Well, because he didn't know how to handle things. He didn't have a covenant with God, obviously, and he wasn't walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. So therefore, that which he had got taken away from him. And this is gonna—we're gonna see this happen. I'm giving you a prophetic word. You might want to write it down or remember it in your mind or remember the show. We were talking about this a little bit lately, but I'm really seeing that we're going to see a lot of this. People that think they got faith. Oh, I got faith. I got love. I love Jesus. I know the Bible. But they really have no wisdom. And their covenant with God is wishy-washy. And because their covenant with God is wishy-washy, because most people think like the guy who went and hid ears. He knows that God is a God who is really, you know, strong and in some areas, like the servant who said, yes, I knew you were a very aggressive man in as far as finances go, but I hid mine in fear. And so you can see that that's what he did. But he knew that the Lord, that the master of the house, was an aggressive person who dealt, who wanted fruit or else. And honestly, that's kind of the way God is in that sense. It's not about going to heaven. This is not about going to heaven. This is about what are you taking with what God's giving you in the earth and learning how to multiply it, learning how to increase it. And so if you don't learn how to do that, then what happens is you end up in failure and God takes away what belongs to you. And he gives it to somebody else. And that's what you don't want, especially in the time that we're in now. We're in a time where we're going to see this happening, where God's going to be giving things to other people. They're going to take it away from some. And I'm talking about wonderful, God-fearing people, y'all. This is not just to the wicked and the evil. So get ready for that. All right, I got to step out here a second. I see something going on. Hang on. All right, so y'all are with me out on the road. I had to stop and do a road thing, a little thing blowing around the back of the truck. I'm on the road. Yeah, I am. I'm in Dallas. I'm going to be traveling for about 3 hours, so pray for me as I do my show and minister to you guys. And all right. So, okay. Wow, that was good. Okay. Getting my seatbelt on here. It's all live and raw. All right. Here we go. All right. So, So most people are going to think, just like the guy who hit his, they're going to think, oh, you know, he'll probably forgive me. Probably, you know, I mean, he can't be that mean. I at least I gave him back what he gave me. And the Lord's going to go, you know, get behind me, basically. And some people are not ready for that. It's not about going to hell. They're going to be put in a place to where, you know, they're not going to see the benefits of blessings in the earth realm, right? The earth realm's not going to be benefiting them. The earth realm's going to be not a blessing for them, but it's going to be a place they're going to enter in the curse. You know, the Bible says to his people, you got to remember this, he said to his people, if you, and this is in the Old Testament and really in the New Testament too, in many different ways, is if you obey the voice, my voice, and do as I tell you, all these blessings will come on you, right? But if you don't do them and you disobey my voice and just kind of, well, he'll forgive me, he'll be kind to me, but, you know, he's going, all these curses come upon you. Curses for what? Not the curse of hell. That's the wrath of God. That's eternal wrath. That's a whole different thing that goes on with people. That's the people who are not born again. But the people who take and hide their stuff and don't do something with it, then God begins to deal with them very strictly. And it's like when you're talking about eternal hell and salvation, that's a whole different story. He's merciful and gracious. He forgives our sins. We get born again. That doesn't change. But what does change is when God gives you something and then you don't do something with it, he expects you to bear fruit. That's why the Bible says if you don't bear fruit, you know, it's not good for you. It's not about going to hell. It's about bearing fruit. What is bearing fruit? Bearing fruit is in the earth. If you don't bear fruit, that doesn't mean you're going to hell. You just don't bear fruit. In other words, you don't multiply and increase what God has given you in the earth realm, so that God can trust you, right? So we're going to get a hold of this message and start seeing, you know, what God's trying to say and do. And once we get a hold of it, people are going to start living in the reverential fear and awe of God in the earth realm, knowing that it's not about, you know, you mess up, you go to hell. You mess up and you don't receive the blessings. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God and do his command, all these blessings will come on you. If you don't, talking about a child of God, talking about an Israelite, all these curses will come on you. In other words, no blessings in the earth. In other words, you're going to be suffering, and life is going to be very difficult, and life is going to be very rough. Yeah. Okay, people are texting me, but I'm driving down the road, and I have my phone hung around my neck. I can't even... on a second here. So hopefully the static is gone now, and if there's any static on it. I had one person saying there was static on the line. I don't know if that's still going on. Am I still having a lot of static? Somebody let me know. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, was the static? Hopefully the static wasn't on there too long. All right. Yeah, I had, okay. Thank you very much. All right, so hopefully you heard that I'm traveling and I'm actually on the road right now. I'm going on about a 3-hour tour of Texas, basically. And not really a real tour, but I'm on my way to do my thing over here. I've been in Dallas for the last week, and I would have been gone earlier today, would have been at my destination already, but I had some printing issues today. Some of the printing things we were doing had to take a little bit more time than we thought, and then they delayed the printout, so I couldn't leave without it. So I'm leaving, and I'm gone, but I'm on my way. So that's why I'm doing this tonight, traveling down the road, going 75 miles an hour in the 75-mile zone. So I'm not speeding, in case you guys are wondering. All right, good to be with you tonight. We are going to be walking in a place, you know, I'm going to take callers early tonight. I'm going to stop preaching and start taking callers, so let's get ready for that. And we want to, you know, pray and prophesy over people. Like I say, I haven't done this in a while driving in the road, but I just love it, actually. It's kind of fun. I'm having fun so far. Just pray for me. Yeah, make sure I got my seatbelt on. I do have my seatbelt on. I am a seatbelt person. So thank you for that. Thank you for that warning. Yeah. All right. We love you guys. Thank you for being on with us tonight. So if I cut it short tonight, we're going to minister to every person. But if I cut it short tonight, it's because I'm on the road, and we're not going to change anything. It presents a challenge to me, and I just love it.
Speak louder. Okay, is that louder? Is that better? All right, thank you. I will speak more into my phone. All right, let's get ready to take callers tonight. So get ready for this. Hang on a minute. I got to do a couple things. Hang on just a minute. All right, let's take the first caller tonight, and we're just going to go from one person to the next. I'm going to call out your number. Just give me your first name and what state you're from, even if I know who you are already. Please do that. I would appreciate it. And then we can move on, and I'll prophesy to you, and then we'll move on to the next caller and go from caller to caller to caller tonight. Probably a lot of the have to speak louder because there's so much noise in this truck driving down the road. All right? Isn't this fun? I love this stuff. It's a blast. All right. Get this chance to step out of the boat a little bit. All right. All right. Let's take our first caller tonight. 202-722. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
All right. Everybody knows Nicole has a show now on every Sunday. It's my last two Sundays. Bless her heart. I'm not used to having a show on Sunday at around noon. And so I've been, neglecting to send text out on her show. So you guys know that, but we've been letting you know. But remember that. Well, I think we've got a system set up now where we can be reminded. So anyway, thank you, Nicole, for your service and for your love for Jesus and your love for what we do here on PGN. I really appreciate you. And God's going to reward you. We're talking a lot about the treasures. Treasures are also the reward system that God has given us. And we're going to do a lot of teaching on that, a lot of prophetic revelation on all that, because it's so misunderstood. The scriptures are so misunderstood. People think we're talking about eternal hell and backsliding and sinning, sinning so much that you go to hell. And a lot of it's talking about, when we don't do what God says as children, we get cursed. He doesn't curse us. He just curses. We just open our own doors up to the curse. If you obey, and this is God saying this, God says it, not the devil, not the world, not the church, God. He says, if you obey, if you will heed to my voice and obey my commands, what I tell you with my voice, all these blessings will come on you. You'll be blessed, and it talks about every area of life you're going to be blessed in. Well, I don't know about y'all, but it makes me want to inspire me to obey God, right? And the only way you're going to obey God is not because you're trying to get rich, right? And obey because of that, to get all the blessings, but you obey out of love. And I see God really drawing you into the love realm, Nicole, and drawing people into the loving fellowship of Jesus. And so that people will obey God, so that the sheep will obey God because they love him. And when you obey him because you love him, you'd never miss him. Pure love, the love of God, when we walk in that and we live in the love of God, you know where your lover's at. You know where when it talks about the Song of Solomon, and you talk about the fellowship of love with Jesus and his bride and his woman, I'm telling you, man, it is absolutely awesome, because when you love him, you obey him because of love. And that's where the highest level, that's where the hundredfold will come in, is obeying God simply because you love him. That's the hundredfold blessing. Most people, they're going to try to do everything they can to get that hundredfold. But one way to that, Nicole, God's really going to show you this and open this up to you, is the way of love. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy body, every part of you. And when you do that, he's going to reward you. And it's all done out of love, pure, raw love, the love of Jesus. Amen. So, Lord, open her up to the love realm, Father, in a way she's never known before. As she teaches, as she shares every Sunday on the book of Revelation and shares what God gives her, I thank you, Lord, that the love of God will penetrate. The love of God will flow. The love of God will energize people to come back to their first love, God, in that realm, God, so that people will walk in 100-fold. We've been teaching on 100-fold for, I don't know, since I've been born again, I think. It's been being taught with all these different things added to it. And really, it comes down to the 100-fold is going to manifest through the love ram, through the love fest. As we love him with all of our heart, we're gonna reap all of his benefits, like he says. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's the glory of God. All right. And so thank you, Lord, for that. All right. Let's go here to 769-290. Who am I? 220. Who am I talking to right now, please?
It's Andrika in Georgia.
Hi, Andrika. All right.
Hi.
Hey, Andrika. Hi. Good to have you, Andrika. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrika, God. And you know, we may talk about the treasure. We're going to start releasing words of the treasure realm over people because mainly because that's what God's telling me to do. And so as different times that I pray and speak over people, Andrika, I speak over you, I pray over you, a lot of this is going to be the treasure realm. 2022, like I said, I'm just doing the printing on my mail out for the treasures and the presence of God and the glory of God on our businesses, on our families. Because you know what? We're going to have a great business if your family's falling apart, right? So God's really going to give you and show you a balance of how to prosper and be in health, even as your family prospers in health and is healthy, right? Even as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers, Andrika, God's going to show you how to prosper your soul. It's all going to be about the soul. Christ offered up his soul for the sacrifice of sins. And so, you know, as you walk in that, I see the cross of Calvary before me right now in my spirit, Andrika. And you know, the greatest treasure of all, as we know, is when Jesus was on the cross. It wasn't when he was healing the sick and raising the dead, as awesome as that was, Andrika. It was when he was on the cross, hanging there, that he did it willingly. He was being the shepherd of shepherds, laying his life. Man, I want to weep right now over this. My God. How can you not love that one, Andrika? Amen. And I see God really opening your eyes more and more and more to the greatest love act that God Almighty has ever done and ever will do. There's nothing that supersedes, not his second coming, not his kingdom on the earth. There's nothing that supersedes the love of the Father. For God so loved the world, Andrika. Oh, my God, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. Oh, not perish in any kind of way. Not in the earth. Amen. And not in eternity. But will be blessed forever. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you for the gospel. For that good old-fashioned gospel of Jesus. The good old-fashioned gospel of Jesus and his love. Dying on the cross, giving himself. When we have our eyes on that, we'll be healed of every infirmity, every issue in our life. With our children, with our family, with our businesses. Jesus Christ himself said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, Andrika, in the wilderness, he lifted him up on the pole. In the wilderness, because the children of Israel had been complaining a lot and had been, just being stubborn. The serpents came out and started biting them. And so for them to be healed, as you know, God told Moses, he said, get up, make a brass serpent, the form of a serpent, and put him up on a pole. And when they look upon this serpent, which is most unusual thing I've ever seen. That's just mind-boggling. The symbology in that thing is amazing. And he said, and Jesus said, just as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so will I. So, Andrika, will I, Jesus said, be lifted up on the cross. Whoa, what an act of love. That's the way we got born again. Not just our sins forgiven, but we got born again because of what Jesus did on the cross. The cross was more than forgiveness. It was a new life. It was a whole new creation. And I thank you, Jesus, for that message, burning that message that's been in her for many years, actually. And I ask you, God, to resurrect it because it's going to affect her business. It's going to affect her children. It's going to affect her life. It's going to affect Everything she touches, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow. This is unusual words tonight already. It's so cool. Really love this. All right. Thank you, Andrika. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to? Where are we from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Hallelujah. Oil, oil, oil. Anointing oil. Oil, oil, oil. Anointing oil. You know, we've talked about oil in the earth. And so what I'm hearing the Lord say is that as God puts his oil on you, the richness of his oil, the expensive spikenard, the sweet-smelling savor, the high-quality spikenard, you know, that the woman who had broken open up her alabaster box and, oh, man, what's going on tonight? I don't know. Something's happening. And washed and anointed the feet of Jesus. Oh, shekele paro gomalaba pondoke peliku jaja paneo shumare pitucha pinte pararoja. As he anoints you with his oil, my brother, the oil of the Holy Ghost, that oil that has that sweet-smelling savor. It's a costly oil that Jesus paid and opened up on the cross of Calvary, that he broke the seal, that you and I can have a high-dollar spikenard oil and fragrance and perfume to smell right, to smell right. Because when you have that anointing on you, it has a smell to it that kind of connected to that spikenard ointment and perfume. That, and when you have that on you, the reason she didn't just, it wasn't a girl's perfume, you know, it was actually for burial. But that smell just filled up the whole room because it was expensive. And even though the spikenard, that the thing that she anointed his feet with, was not just for burial, but she was doing it for burial, for his burial. That there's an anointing that God, you know, has upon you, an anointing oil that's gonna cause you to prosper in the oil realm, even in the blessing of the earth, of oil. And if God anoints you with his oil, it's gonna anoint you for oil. Hallelujah. I remember the first time God gave me a word to you about oil. I saw dark black oil, and I told you, I think specifically, it's been a few months ago, about that this is oil from the ground, not anointing oil. And now tonight, it's like I'm seeing anointing oil that's anointing you for the oil, for the richness of the oil of the earth, because God has given that as a blessing and for many different things. So, Lord, I thank you for the increase of the anointing of my brother, God, that you will prosper him and make him healthy and wealthy, Father, with your anointing oil, and connect him to the riches of the earth that come from the earth, that are there, that are placed in the earth for God's kingdom and for God's glory. And thank you, Lord, for that powerful anointing upon his life, God, in the name of Jesus. Break the seal, Jesus, and open up that sweet-smelling spikenard, that expensive, sweet-smelling savor and smell of the perfume. Hallelujah. How sweet are the death of his saints. Because when Jesus paid the price, friend, he paid the price for everything. Everything she did was about paying the price, Chris. It was about paying the price. Sometimes when you and I pay the price, I paid the price a time or two. Oh, I paid the price for my sins all right, too. And until I realized Jesus already paid the price for them and he could wash them away where I didn't have to pay the price for them. But sometimes God asks us to pay the price. I paid the price. Can you do it with me? And when we pay the price, when we have to pay the price, Chris, it taps us into that price that Jesus paid, that expensive, sweet-smelling odor that comes from that fragrance that only God can produce. And I thank you, Jesus, that when they smell like that, it gets attention. When you walk into a room and you got some a very expensive spikenard on your body. Everywhere Jesus went, everybody was like, you smell something coming? They could smell him coming a mile away because that hurt. His feet were anointed with that in his head. And it got attention. The anointing gets attention. The anointing draws. The anointing, you know, when you smell good, it draws people. What is that? Smell, that smells good. It draws people. Draw them out of God, and he will draw them out of you. And I thank you, Jesus, for breaking the seal of that alabaster box in my brother's life, God, that he will worship and weep and worship you, Jesus, at your feet, and anointing you for price paying. Because was he anointing for his burial, Chris? That was for price paying. It wasn't just a suffering time. It wasn't just brutal blood being shed. It was a price. It was all about the price that had to be paid. And only Jesus could pay that price, my brother. Sometimes God asks us to pay the price. But when we do, we tap into the price that Jesus paid. That's what we do. When he asks us to do something that costs us, yeah. When Solomon tapped into the price paying, he paid a price. He offered a 1,000 bulls. What did God do? It's the smell just drew God to him. He goes, oh, Solomon, what can I do for you? It's like God was servant. God became his servant. What do you want? I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? Just anything you want. Just ask, and I'll give it to you. And it was that sweet-smelling savor, that smell, that expensive. When he gave 1,000 bulls, Chris, that was like very few times that had been done in the Bible. I think Hezekiah might have done 1,000 bulls. It's a lot. And God, it woke up God, and God says, what do you want? Amen. Opened up Solomon to a whole other dimension. And he did pay a price. The 1,000 bulls, I mean, that cost him. It was his kingdom. And when it's, even though it's your ministry's money or your kingdom's money, it's your money. You think about it as your money, you know, because you take care of it like it's yours, right? And it's been given to you by God. And he did an amazing thing and gave that offering. And, oh, my God, the Lord just says, what can I do for you? All right, my brother. Amen. May God show you how to reap the benefits of Jesus, of the benefits of the cross of Calvary. All right. 972-695. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, I bet y'all have never done y'all show on the road before.
I don't think we have.
Okay, then I'm really special tonight then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I just checking to make sure. I thought I was like feeling like really special tonight. All right. Thank you guys. All right. I had to make a little comment there about traveling. And Terrence and Tanisha do shows every Wednesday. They did a show tonight. These shows on Sundays, most Sundays. And as well as we have other hosts too, but make sure and catch them on Wednesdays. If you don't have our alert system through text, let me know, and I'll let you know about that. So just send me your number, and I will do that. And you will only get text alerts, maybe a scripture once in a while. Not very much, but that's all it's for. So give us a holler. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Terrence and Tanisha, Father. Thank you for Tanisha, Father. Thank you, Father, for the price they have paid. And God showing you, Tanisha, this whole thing about the price, the whole thing about the treasures. When we have been smitten, when we have been, that Jesus was smitten, he was whipped with a cat of nine tails. He was beaten. He it was bloody. It was horrible. It was torment. And he bore it. Because he knew that what he was doing, he was giving his life for his people. He was giving his life. He was doing it all for the Father. And I see God really opening you up to in the realm of suffering. As you've had to suffer and continue, you know, I suffer things, you suffer things, we all suffer things, and so that suffering, what happens is God takes it. And he says, don't waste your sorrows. There's a book that I've got some really well-known man of God, Billheimer, I think. Somebody, Billheimer, had a book called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. I read it years ago. It was an amazing book about how that we don't waste our sorrows. And so what I'm hearing tonight for you, Tanisha, is that as a price, as you pay the price sometimes for things, because you're serving God, when you know that what's happening to you is because you're paying the price, you decided to dig in and say, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do, and you've chosen to go the road. What happens is you're paying a price. That's what you do. All right. Is that any better? Y'all hear me now? How about now? Can you hear me now? Okay. I don't know what happened. My phone is all doing the same thing. I don't know what happened. Sorry about that. All right. So you did hear me talking to you because I heard you talking to me, Tanisha and Terrence. Thank you. Okay. So you can hear me okay. Thank you for that. Thanks for letting me know. All right. So, Tanisha, I don't know what you heard or what you didn't hear, but I'll just try to remember the whole thing. All right. Tanisha, if you can hear me now, thank you. Thanks for letting me know. Yeah, what I was hearing tonight was this whole thing about the treasures and paying the price. And sometimes we go to the whipping post. You know, Jesus, things went really well for Jesus for several years. And, in fact, all of his life until he was 33, until he went to the cross, his life was pretty smooth, pretty nice, pretty quiet, basically. And then when he got called to the ministry, he got called to preach and minister. That's when things began to happen to him. And then when he went to the cross, he paid the price. That's what he did. He paid the price. And so so as I see you guys, see you, Tanisha, and, of course, Terrence, too, the same thing on this, but paid a price. They've been paying a price. Sometimes we wonder, why am I paying a price for this? Jesus paid the price. Jesus took one. Jesus said, follow me, and you will suffer things. You will pick up your cross and follow me. And so what we don't understand is, like, all the suffering that we do and the abuse and the mishandling of things and, all the things that come against us as believers. Because many times God waits until we get, fairly solid in the Lord before he allows, the major thing. Like Jesus, was 33 years old when he went to the cross, right? And he had been walking in the anointing and the Holy Spirit for, several years. And then it came time for him to suffer. And when he suffered, he was paying the price. And so when we, even though Jesus has paid the price, and we can never pay the price for our own salvation, but what we do pay a price for is our blessings in the earth. Jesus paid the price for our heavenly salvation. Right, there's nobody can pay the price for that. We can't do righteous works and go to heaven. It's a gift of God. Period. But in the earth realm, when we have unforgiveness, you know what it does? It cuts us off from the blessings of God. When we forgive, it opens us up to the blessings. I've experienced it myself. I've done it. I've watched it happen. And so I see that that as you guys have suffered things and have suffered abuse and have suffered accusations and the things that you suffered, that what's happening is it's really, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's kind of almost like a special moment. Suffering was never beautiful to Jesus' mother. She was torn. She was ripped at the heart by watching her son suffer. But in God's eyes, what was going on was that there was something. Jesus was tapping into the devil's kingdom when he was being tortured and whipped and beaten, as the devils and the demon and those men being used of the devil, all with God behind it. God was behind every bit of it. But when he was allowed to suffer and be abused and be whipped and beaten, what happened was he was tapping into the glory of Satan, the power of Satan, the satanic realm. And he was taking abuse falsely. And when you suffer falsely, when you're accused falsely, when you are, things going, that is when God is opening up an opportunity for us to enter into the treasure realm, in a sense that we enter into you know, into God, of course, number one, but we also get, you know, Satan, what he does is he breaks the law. And when he breaks the law, like when they were whipping Jesus, they were breaking the law. Satan himself was breaking the law. And when he did that, it broke him. And so as God shows you how to, God shows us how to suffer things. Because when you realize that things, when they're so, when Jesus' mother watched him suffer that horrible whipping and beating and all things, to her, it was the most horrible, heart-wrenching thing ever. And it was. But in God's eyes, on the other side of the story, God was saying, this is the most beautiful story that's going to unravel. The Bible even says that it pleased God to bruise him. Pleased God. Why? Because he knew that he was going to tap into the power of Satan and call Satan guilty, call him, destroy him. And so as we suffer unjustly, and as you and Terrence have suffered unjustly in many things, and that, when that happens, there's a price that's paid. And when that price is paid, it literally taps you into the price-paying power of God. And God doesn't always let us do that. Sometimes, we bring things on ourselves. I brought plenty of things on myself. But when you're suffering at the pure judgment of Satan's hatred, and God is allowing it, because sometimes it doesn't, like with Mary, she kept thinking, somebody's got to stop this. This will stop. He'll be fine. He won't die. And she kept expecting him because she was told by the angel he was going to rule on the throne of David. But misunderstood scripture, but still she heard that from the angel. And so she thought, he's not going to die. She kept waiting for him to be rescued. Sometimes that's what we wait for. We keep waiting for God to rescue us or somebody to rescue us from this pain. And watching the suffering, especially when you're watching suffering with somebody else, how much it affects you. Sometimes it affects them. It affects Mary more than it did Jesus as far as the pain and suffering of it. But what was happening is that God is showing me that you're tapping into authority over Satan. Amen? Yeah, because when he does something unjustly, that's the most powerful treasure God could allow you to walk into and be a part of, is injustice done to you from Satan, however that happens. And it taps you into the power of God that you'll look back and go, man, if it hadn't been for the sufferings of Christ, I wouldn't be walking in the authority and power. You and Terrence would not be walking in the authority and power that God has called you to walk in because of those things. So rejoice when you suffer, and it is not easy. I don't always rejoice, but I can understand now more and more. Joseph was being falsely. Remember, Joseph was falsely accused. He was thrown into the pit with his brothers that were jealous of him. What was he doing? What was God doing? God was tapping him in to a power over, power over the globe of the world, to save the world, to defeat Satan, and with food and save the world with food. And so when he moved to Egypt, so all that whole story, when you look at that, you see it as God did that on purpose, so that he chose Joseph to suffer that abuse, so he would tap into the power of God. And have authority over the globe, over the world system, to feed and take care and nurture the world. All right, that's for you and Terrence both. All right, so there you go. Very good tonight. Hang on a second. I'm actually driving down the road, y'all. Driving down the road. All right, I'm going to try this again. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully, if you can't hear me, please let me know. Am I talking to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
All right, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for the spices. That's the first word I heard was spices. Like there's spices. God is spicing your life. It's a spice in your life. And the spices, when I think of spices, I think of the ingredients that made up the anointing oil, the spices that were used in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the Okay, one second. Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that I'm having a lot of. I'm having a lot of noise go on, all these trucks and all this stuff. So, yeah, thanks for letting me know. Okay, Donald and Tony. Woo! I'm driving down the freeway, man. This is crazy. I love it, though. I feel like I'm out of the boat tonight. Walking on the water, driving in the freeway. Yeah, doing a show. It's like walking on the water. Really exciting. I got to stay focused, right? Yeah. And so the spices, ingredients that God is make up the oil, the anointing oil. There were five different ingredients for the anointing oil. And that anointing oil was, only could be used for the things of God. Like the oil that the priest had made for the tabernacle could not be used for anything else. It could only be used for the things of God. And so I see God really drawing you in, and like Peter was a fisherman, right? And now all of a sudden he is a preacher. Jesus called him the priest. He's going like, man, I'm not part of the priest. I'm not a Levite. But you know what? Jesus changed everything. And when he did, he called people like Peter, and said, I've chosen you. I want to use you. And he anointed him and called him. It was an official call from an official man of God, who's Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh, and when he called you, it was an official call from the Father. And so there's something going on with God showing you that you are called of him, that you're chosen by him. You are that anointing oil, the spices and the things that were used, they were they were very holy. They could only be used for people, for the priest, for the things in the tabernacle, like the, for anointing the Ark of the Covenant, the table of showbread, all the things that they anointed and separated out. That oil could only be used for that. And so God seems to be pointing to the fact that he wants you to know he's called you. Yeah, you're working in the world right now, but that calling is going to start calling you more and more and more. And like me, I worked in the business world. I had my own business for several years, remodeling business and painting business, and did it for years. And finally, God opened the door, and there it went. So I think God is trying to bring forth that sanctifying you, setting you apart for the work of the ministry, and calling you to that, and understanding what that really means, that it's not always we just jump up to the Bible school. As much as it is, God's going to start teaching you that oil, those spices, those special things that God made just for the temple. Amen. And for Tanya, God, I thank you for Tanya, for raising up Tanya, showing Tanya how to live with being a servant in the temple of God. That God's called you, Tanya, to serve within the temple as far as, the things of God and administer the things of God. You may have, a job. I may be doing things on, but you have that calling to the temple, to the things of God, you want to share your heart with people. You want to share, God's really giving you, Tanya, a heart-sharing message. And a lot of things that you do, and God's using you to do, Tanya, is bring people's hearts back to God. Like it says in Malachi that the Spirit of Elijah is going to come and bring back the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Amen. And God's really giving you a heart for that, to pray for that, to believe God for that, especially having three sons, right?
Yeah, it's Son's anthology. The hearts of the fathers to the Son, and to the children, and the children to the Father. And I call it for that because that's what breaks the curse on the earth, right? There's something about men, something about the women need to rise up. God's calling the women to rise up and pray for the men in their life, that they answer the calling of God in their life, and whatever that devil that is, so that the curse of the earth will be broken off. Amen. And off our families, and off their families. All right. All right. Let's go here to the next caller. All right, 863-268, can I talk to you recently?
Hey, Randy, it's Nikki and Charles.
All right. All right, Nikki and Charles, thank you. Thank you, God, for Nikki and Charles. Lord, I thank you for a whole new beginning, for beginning the new beginning. God, for stirring that up, for, you know, this year as we entered into the no more Donald Trump era, God bless him, to the Joe Biden era, and that we entered into a new era, that God is, you know, saying that this sounds like a negative thing, but it is the beginning of a new thing. And I heard, Jonathan Kahn, I think you know who Jonathan Kahn is. He's a merchandiser, but he's up sometimes. I listened to him tonight being interviewed, I think, by somebody at Baystar. And he was talking about, should I share that? I don't know if I should share that or not. Yeah, anyway, there's going to be new beginning. And how that, God's going to have new beginnings for people. And that new era that we're in is, like the book of Acts. Like, I've been talking lately, and I heard him say tonight, just like God can show me, that we're entering into the book of Acts. Well, you know, the book of Acts means it's not what most people think it is. Oh, it's just going to be anointing, people being healed, it's going to be amazing. Well, of course that's part of it. But the atmosphere for the book of Acts is a no-Trump era, right? So it's like God's bringing us to that point where he's showing us, you want the book of Acts? And that's what that Jonathan Kahn was saying tonight, or that thing's not sure. I'll just the recording of it, that we're entering into the book of Acts. Well, the book of Acts is the beginning of the tribulation, and where it's going to be trouble and persecution. But guess what, man? We're going to break into a whole new thing, a whole new beginning, and that's what we're beginning to. If we don't get a hold of this thing that it's a new beginning, and not the devil trying to take control and get change things, but God is actually giving us the privilege of a new beginning, like the book of Acts, you know, when they were fighting with the religious community, the Jewish religious, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, and the religious community, the Jewish leaders, they were persecuting them. And also Rome, which was, you know, definitely not of God, a government that was not of God. So that's the environment for the book of Acts. And I heard Jonathan Kahn tonight on a recording say that on an interview on Daystar Network. So, and I feel like you guys are just very, very much a part of that. And what I see God, so to have that new beginning, we have to understand what a new beginning is. And God's going to start showing you how to enter into that new beginning, how to think new beginning thinking, you know, how to, walk in it, what God's new beginning is. And that is the book of Acts. It's the book of Acts. And it's also, Jonathan Kahn also talked about this. The reason I'm bringing it up is I was totally surprised to hear him talk about it. He said, like you did, you talked about the remnant before. He talked about the remnant. He said, he told this person on the interview, he said, there's a remnant coming forth. And it's like Gideon, where it's going to take less and God's going to need more. And we've been saying that, as you know, for quite a while now. And so we've right on about that. And you guys are part of that. You're part of the remnant. You're part of that new creation. God is creating a new people, Nikki and Charles. He's creating a new people. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. And when you're called to be a part of that, that is an amazing privilege. We're just like the like Peter. Peter, the Bible says in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell, it says that Peter, who was ignorant, what does ignorant mean? Oh, that's kind of like us. We're kind of ignorant. We're not a bunch of theologians. We don't know all about everything about the law. We don't know everything about the prophets. We don't know everything about all the history. We don't know all that stuff, but we know Jesus, and that's the new thing, about knowing Jesus and letting Jesus reveal to you what he wants you to know. And I thank you, Lord, for that new anointing on them, God, to raise up that generation, the East Charles, to raise up that generation, speak into the lives of that generation, Father, and bring those treasures, Father, in their lives, in Jesus' name, as the rewards for their obedience and the fact that you're going to confirm to them that they are called and chosen for such a time as this, in Jesus' name, for the book of Acts, the book of Acts. Amen. All right, 912-841, am I talking to you currently? Oh, 312. 312,
Illinois.
Marcia? Oh, hi, Marcia.
Hi.
Hi, good to have you, Marcia. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Marcia, Father. Thank you, Father, for reviving the relationship realm with her, God, for reviving the relationship realm. God, I see God healing and blessing your emotional realm, where, you know, women are made, God has made them different from men, of course. Women came out of men, and yet y'all have what we don't have, right, because y'all got it from us. Y'all took it. Y'all took it and ran with it. Something like that. I don't think it's actually biblical, but it's pretty close. But anyway, yeah, so that emotional part of you, that part of you that women desire relationships. They want that intimacy, and God's really giving you that in your heart, Marja. And God's not going to disappoint you. He's going to show you that. And I see that same thing about the spikenard that Mary, when she broke the alabaster box. And so when she took that spikenard, that sweet smelling expensive spikenard, and put it on Jesus, it got on her because she was putting it on him. It was all over her. So she walked out with that same smell that Jesus had on him. And yet she was the one anointing him with that, and because she had such a deep women have a way of connecting with people's deep emotional needs. And Jesus, Marja, had a deep emotional need for someone to understand that he was about to die, for someone to understand that he was about to give his life, that he loved doing it, he wanted to do it, but he needed someone to connect with him, to go, I understand what you're doing. I understand what's going on. And when Mary anointed his feet, and Judas, of all people, same atmosphere we have today with the religious leaders, that Judas, the selling Jesus, said, oh, we could have sold that. We could have always thinking about was the money, always thinking about was making money and paying, you know, for himself, actually. But Mary, that same smell that she put on Jesus, she's the one that poured it on him. She got it all over her. And Jesus, when Jesus said, hey, you guys don't even know what you're talking about. Sell it. You don't even know what this woman has done for me. She has touched me emotionally. She has touched me in the depth of my being. She's touched me in a way that I've been trying to tell people I'm dying, and nobody seems to hear it. Nobody seems to listen. But she's got it. She knows. She's felt it. She's sorrowing for me. She's weeping for me. She is connecting with me like nobody else has. And Mary walked away that day, Marja, with that thing. She deeply connected with Jesus in a way that he needed it. It was absolutely amazing. And so, Lord, I thank you for that with Marja. Marja, Mary, Marja. Yeah, there you go, Marja and Mary. I don't know what Marja means exactly. But there you go. And God connecting you with that emotional part, that mental part of Jesus, understanding him, knowing what he feels like, right? Knowing what he's feeling, knowing what the tender part of him that when he suffers, he needs someone to comfort him. and John was the closest thing that he had as far as a man. And that's why Jesus let John lean on his breast, because he needed that comfort, Margie. He needed that compassion. He needed that connection, right? Because he was a human being. The human part of him wanted that, and Mary saw that in her heart, and her emotional realm was able to, in her spirit, in her soul, was able to connect to that part that you're going to die, Jesus, and I feel you, and I love you, and I'm for you, and I'm standing with you. Marja, I just loosen that into your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 24042, who am I talking to real quickly? Hello, 2442. Hello, 240-402-482. Can you hear me now? Can you guys hear me? All right, 240, let's pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you for the heartbeat of God to understand that when things are not going well, that sometimes it's not always the devil interfering with us as much as it is God wanting us to make sure that we got our faith, our eyes on him. Because when a storm starts to rage, when a storm begins to rage sometimes, it's about, you know, the test of keeping our eyes on Jesus. You know, like with Peter. Peter was on the sea, and he was in the battle. The thing that his biggest enemy was the fact that there was a storm raging, and that storm caused him to get his eyes off of the Lord Jesus. And so sometimes when we got things that kind of seem like we're starting to sink a little bit, it's because the Lord's saying, now make sure you keep your eyes on me. And so I see God really showing you how to
keep your focus on him. Even when you're weak, even when you feel vulnerable, even when you feel like you can't do it and there's no way you can work it, that it can happen, that God's going to show you how to keep your eyes on him, because your focus is everything. Whatever you focus on is what's going to touch you. If you get your eyes focused on the storm, of course, is going to touch you. And that's not the kind of touch that we want, right? We want to be touched by the Lord. So if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus and God giving you the ability to do that, even when you feel the weakest, even when you feel like you can't do it anymore, that's usually when your focus turns more pure to God, when you know you can't do it, when you know you're not able, then your focus really becomes pure. All right? Amen. So, praise God.
All right, 610-967. Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA, and I'm calling to ask for prayer for Devontae and Andre, please.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. All right, Devontae and Andre. Thank you, Lord, for Devontae, Father. We thank you, Father, for the giving courage to make the right decisions. Father, because... you know, even though we don't always hear the voice of God, sometimes the decisions that we know are right. There's some things that God always deals with us in the realm that what we know what is right and wrong. And I ask you, God, to help Devontae do what he knows is right. Do the things that he knows. Not oh, I wonder, I am questioning. No, he knows. When you know something's right and you don't do it, that costs you. Right? So, God, give him the strength, give him the courage, give him the wisdom to do what he knows is right. Make the decisions that he knows. If you make decisions that you know is wrong, you willingly do that, that costs you a lot. God wants you to enter into that place to where, you know, your decisions, many times, knowing right from wrong, the things that you know, God knows, okay, he knew better, and he did it. He knew better, and he didn't do it. So ask God to help you with that and make decisions that you know are right. And when you know it's wrong, and you can't seem to stop making those decisions, just ask God to help you. He's there to help you in your weakness. He knows that we're not always strong. We're weak, and we need help. We're like little children. We're like sheep who go astray without him. And God wants you to know that we really like that. He knows that we're weak. He knows we can't make decisions, you know, except the ones that are obvious. When the shepherd turns right, they turn right because they know if they follow the shepherd, it's going to be good. If they turn left, it's real simple. Father, for Andre tonight, God, we thank you for Andre. Father, we thank you for giving him compassion for himself. God, the Bible says, love the Lord thy God and your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes it's about having compassion, you know, on others. If you have compassion in yourself, you give Andre compassion for himself when he feels like he falls short. And when he comes short of the glory, when he comes short of the things that he knows, you know, that he struggling with, that God is merciful and gracious, man. He's merciful and gracious. He wants to impart that merciful and graciousness into you for yourself. Okay? So you'd be more, because if we're not merciful and gracious to ourselves, we condemn ourselves. And when you condemn yourself, what you do is you get further away. So that's why the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Because condemnation is a real enemy. And, God knows if you're condemning yourself, then, you know, you're not in Christ. You're not saved, but you're just not walking with him in the earth. So have compassion on yourself. Let Jesus have the compassion Jesus has on you and for you. Have it for yourself. I know it's difficult sometimes, but God can impart it to you and bless you with that. So, Jesus, I thank you for my brother tonight in Jesus' name, that he will have compassion on himself, be patient with himself, knowing that he's a human being. And, so, amen. For Lisa tonight, Lord, we thank you for Lisa. God, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that she be a wise virgin, Father, and she teach other people that are foolish virgins, how to be wise virgins. Many virgins out there, many people that are born again, that love God, and they're walking in foolishness, utter foolishness. And so I thank you, Jesus, for helping her to walk in that
walk in that wisdom and help other people walk in wisdom, them the wisdom to, you know, so they can know. You know, sometimes people just don't have the wisdom. They don't have anybody giving them wisdom. So I think the Lord has given Lisa the wisdom to give to other people so that they can quit being foolish and always missing out on a breakthrough and always showing up late, showing up short, can't quite make it, can't get going on. Just like the foolish virgin. They showed up late, they missed the breakthrough, and they just missed out on the whole thing. They were foolish. Not because they weren't virgins, but they were foolish virgins. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing oil for wise virgin wisdom. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 720-682, who am I talking to you from today?
It's Mike from Colorado.
Hey, Mike. All right. Yes, I do have my seatbelt on. Thank you for that. It's a good warning, right? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing on my God. I thank you for all the things that he's paid a price for. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening up the mic to that realm of receiving the price in Jesus. Because when you pay the price, God asks you to do things that cost you, that are costly. Then, you know, eventually, when the time is right, you know, just like the Bible says, if you humble yourself before the Lord in due season, he will raise you up. So I thank you, Lord, for that season of raising up, God, and the anointing for raising up, and the blessing for raising up, and for the price that he's paid. The many things he's done, like Hezekiah, when Hezekiah was getting ready to die, and he had some kind of cancerous tumor or something, I don't know what it was, something was going to kill him. And the prophet told him he was going to die and wasn't going to recover, and it wasn't good news. Well, he didn't turn to the wall and repent. He turned to the wall and said, God, you know, all these things I've done for you. And God says, oh, yeah, I'm going to give you 15 more years. So the prophet shows up and says, I'm going to give you 15 more years. So it's not always about, so when you pay the price, when you, like Hezekiah, he's done a lot of things that caused him trouble, that caused him, you know, warfare. And God says, you know, I'm going to give you more time because I'm going to reward you with the reward where you've paid the price and you've entered into that realm of the price being paid. And when you enter into the price being paid realm, you understand what Jesus went through when he was paying the price, what he went through. That's why we become one with his suffering. We begin to see what he meant by that, the price that he paid, and how we tap into the power and the purchasing power of what Jesus paid for. We actually are paid. Enters into that, the realm of treasures, where the treasures of what Jesus did and paid the price on the cross of Calvary, what a price it was, what a treasure he bought. And thank you, Lord, for my God and opening up those treasures in ways he's never seen or known before in Jesus' name. All right, 623-282, who am I talking to you
recently? God bless, Prophet Randy. This is Carmen from Texas.
Oh, hey, Carmen. Right. Thank you for all your help. And Carmen has shows on Saturday, so make sure and get our text alerts, and make sure you can remind you of that. So sometimes Carmen has to text me and say, I'm coming on. So, Randy, don't forget. You know, because she knows I'm not used to having Saturday services, so she's been very helpful in that. So she's on Saturday night at 9 o'clock. So make sure and get in on some of that, hear what the Lord's saying. Thank you, Jesus, for the whole Jewish realm, God. I think you're connecting her to the Jewish realm. And I don't know if you're going to get to know some Jewish people or some people that, but I feel like God's going to send some Jewish people to you. And, you know, God's going to give you the wisdom to give them, going to give you some treasures to give them, some information to give them. And I think their name's been Rosen, like that. I think that may be their name up there, if I keep hearing that name. Rosen for sure. And they have been really cold toward God. And we, you know, different situations, life has been really tough on them, mean to them, and they need ministry. They need someone to start a fire in their heart and give them something to
solid, you know, instead of some flaky bunch of, you know, information that doesn't mean much. If you've been something solid, something that's of the foundations of Christ, something they can stand on, because they know they've had all kinds of people tell them all kinds of things. And they need something they can actually stand on. These people are very discerning people. I don't know who I'm talking about here, but they will recognize a solid information, and they've heard a lot of everything else. So, amen. So thank you, Jesus, for Carmen and using her not only with Jewish people, but also with people of all kinds, where you're teaching them how to, have something to stand on in their life, where they don't just keep floundering and drowning and going down, but they stand on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, on solid ground. And thank you for giving Carmen the wisdom to do that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 803-991. Who am I talking to you from, please?
I'm from Marina, Angela, South Carolina.
Okay, Angela. All right, Angela, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela. Thank you, Lord, for the guidance. There's God's calling you, one of his, he's going to use you to guide people. He's going to call you a guide, you know, like you have guides that get a guide to take you to, you know, in Africa, they have guides that, you know, guide them where they'll see all the animals and the best part of Africa and all kinds of things. But God's calling you to be a guide. He wants you to lead you and guide you into all truth. And God's using you to lead people and guide people into truth. Because the truth is what sets people free. And, you know, there's so many lies out there, Angela. There's so many things out there that are lies that have gone on with people. And they've been lied to, they need someone to guide them to the truth. And God says, I call you the shepherd of truth. You know the shepherd of truth. And he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you into the truth. And as you share that truth with people, it's going to set them free. It's going to set them free financially. It's going to set them free emotionally. It's going to connect them to God. And a real anointing of liberty. I hear the liberty bell ringing with you. The bell of liberty ringing with you. And you're going to ring that bell. You're going to ring it over people's lives. You're going to ring it over. You're going to ring it in the spirit where those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who want to be free, those who want liberty in Christ are going to come running to the dinner bell of liberty, the liberty bell. As you pray it, ring it, and sing it, and sing the songs of Zion. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 863-276, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Destiny from Florida.
Hi, Destiny. Thank you, Jesus, for Destiny tonight, God. We thank you, Father, for Destiny, for the power of resurrection, God. Resurrection is when something dies, that the only thing that can make it come forth is resurrection. And, you know, Jesus let, you know, his best friend, one of his best friends die. And because God wanted to use him as a resurrection, trophy. And that's what it says. God's going to use you as a resurrection trophy, where the resurrection power of Christ rises up through you and in you and resurrects you from death, from all kinds of death, from the death of failure, from the death of, you know, not being able to succeed with the Lord like you know you're supposed to, not being able to have, to be the kind of person that you want to be, because you have such high goals for yourself, which is very beautiful. And, and so God really showing you how to, that death, burial, resurrection, when Jesus let his best friend die, they were very good friends. And Jesus, and they even came and told Jesus, he's dying. Your best friend Lazarus, he's dying. Come. And he just didn't show up. And it seemed cruel. Sometimes things seem cruel to you, definitely. But you know what? God's going to do a resurrection work. He's going to do something. He goes, why didn't you come and save me? Why didn't you come and deliver me? Why didn't you come to me? Where were you at when this went up? And the Lord's going to go, I
I let you die. I let things die. I let things happen because I'm going to use you as a trophy of my resurrection. So when people came to see, after Lazarus raised from the dead, they came to see Lazarus just as much as they came to see Jesus. He was a trophy. And God's going to use you as a trophy of his love. In Jesus' name, you can understand all things in your mind. All right,
831-596.
Can I talk to you
briefly? Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California.
All right, Noelle. All right,
I hope you're being safe driving.
All right. There you go. All right, Noelle. I muted myself and I muted you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Noel tonight, God. I thank you, Father, for All right, Noel. And I got all kinds of things going on here. It's crazy. I left this. I haven't ministered on the road like this, driving on the road, in a long time. It's really awesome tonight. All right. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing that you have been born again. Yeah. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing that you have been free from sin. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but thank you, Lord, for the bells ringing, for the bell of liberty, for the bell of freedom, for the bell of the curses broken, for the bell of the wicked witch is dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. I ask me where this is coming from, girl, you drawing it out of me? Yeah, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the bell of liberty, for the bell of, I don't even know what this is about, but somebody dies in the city, you know, it's like they ring a bell, like a funeral, like somebody just died, all kinds of bells that ring, like when an angel gets his wings, and when an angel got his wings, successfully helping him get to his situation, a bell went off. The bell rang. So this is just a bell ringing. And sometimes that bell's going to be, some voice going to be people that you know that have been like wicked witches, so to speak. Think they can control everything, think they can do whatever they want to do. And, God, you're going to find out they're going to be dead. They're going to die. Come out of it. They're going to fail you for some reason. Some level. I don't know what level of failure that is, but death it is. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. Yeah. So that and the bell of liberty, all at the same time, the bell of liberty, the bell of freedom, the bell of, all is well. It's been paid for, the debt's been paid for. Amen. So whatever that means, Noel, anyway, I think that's really it. How can you have a witch, the wicked witch? Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead, and then at the same time have a bell about liberty and freedom. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But the fear of God is living, I can tell you that right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Yeah, open up to that, Holy Ghost. Hello, but the temple of God that's in my sister, God. The God's going to cause you to bless to be a part of the temple building. The temple, not a tabernacle. The temple, like a permanent thing, body of Christ, I'm not sure what that is exactly, but maybe to help PGN, I don't know, that too, but God's going to bless you so that you can be a great part of that, and bless you above and beyond what you could even ask, or think, or even imagine, in the name of Jesus, let it be done, God, spoil the spoiler, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, 402-650. Who am I talking to, Rick Crumpley?
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha along with Melly and Matt.
And Matt?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Melody and Matt. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Matt. Well, we thank you for Matt, and I probably thank you for giving him his property, his ownership, that he will have ownership, that you're going to eventually give him ownership of things and make him an owner. And thank you, God, for teaching. I don't know why somebody was trying to call me, but they were. All right. So thank you, Lord, for Matt. God, we thank you, Father, for when Jesus took people to test, Matt, he took them to test. He would take them to a test to see if they were worthy of owning a property or having a property. He says, if you can't do well with another man's property, another man's name, then how can I give you your own? And so I see the Lord really showing you how to do well with somebody else's property. You know, like you go to a job, let's say, so to speak, and you work for them, how well you work for them. Sometimes it's a test to see whether you can own your own business or have your own property or whatever. So I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, and for opening that up to that place, understand that sometimes the things we go through are nothing but trials. It may seem like what we have to take care of is not even worth taking care of, and it's not very much. But if we take care of a little bit that we have, God says, I'm going to give you much more. I'm going to bless you with much more. So show them that round, Father, in Jesus' name, and amen. And thank you, Lord, for Jonathan and his lovely wife. God, we thank you, Lord, for drawing them together in unity as never before, Father. Unity with the same purpose. Unity with the same thing in mind. Unity to gather together a harvest. As they, well, there's unity. If there's not unity going on, and the unity has to be, you know, of God, whatever that is. When the unity comes of God, then things can, you can get a harvest. You can move forward. You can be blessed. But many times, you know, disharmony or what God is really bringing harmony with you guys. And you know, you can have harmony in a lot of different ways, but having harmony in the right direction for the right purposes, for the right motives. That's extremely important to walk in that because that's where your blessings come from. That's where the enemy can't come in anymore, right? When two people come together and they become one, that means that the enemy can't tear them apart. So God, showing you guys how to become one in spirit, one in truth, and one in purpose. And as that happens, that nothing can ever tear you apart. But not only will you not be able to be torn apart, but you will be blessed. Amen. Because your unity, it opens you up to the divine appointment of God where he can, you know, bless you, increase you, multiply you. The two became one. And God told them to be fruitful and multiply. So there's something about being one, coming together, to be fruitful and multiply. Amen. All right, 480-637. Am I talking to you promptly?
Randy, it's Greg from Arizona.
Oh, hey, Greg. Hello, Greg. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I see like a new tune being played in your heart, like God's giving you a new song, a new rhythm, a new heartbeat, a new flow, like a pep in your step. A pep in your step? Where'd that come from? I don't know. A pep in your step. Like, I don't know, like an excitement, like something stirring around, like, oh my God, you know, I think some things are happening, I think something's going on. And bringing me to that place of hope, Father, and stirring around the, that you're working on things are happening, you're bringing things together. It is life in Jesus' name. And for you will not have to guess and wonder and go, well, anything every minute seem like. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for bringing them those things where it seems like there's no way, making a way where it seems to be no way. and actually being able to see a way, whether it seems like there's never going to be a way, that you're making a way, God, that he's going to see that. The Bible says it seems to be a way. It doesn't mean there's not a way, but it just seems like you don't have to get blinded by whatever. And God, open up your eyes to be able to see. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for the seer in my brother, Father. They can see that the carpenter in him, God, will rise up and be the carpenter, begin to build, be a builder, things together. Amen. Yeah, so, yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Hot 402-214, we might talk to you real quick.
Hey, Randy, it's Sharon. Thanks so much.
You're so welcome. All right. All right, Sharon from New York, a New York girl. Thank you, Lord, for the mountain, God. That mountain mentality. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't seem like the mountain's ever going to be thrown into the sea, you know, or the mountain's ever going to come down. And our mountains, our valleys, get filled with the mountains, and the mountains become level. We walk on a level ground. But I see the Lord giving you, showing you that he's giving you faith for the mountain. He's giving you faith for the mountain. So, be what says in the mountain, be thou cast into the sea and shall be. And I see God, you know, showing you how to walk in that, work in that, live in that. Because you have that kind of faith, Sharon. You have that kind of faith. And God is wanting to open you up to that and show you how to walk in it, how to deliver the punch, how to, you know, make your life more of a level playing field, but, you know, up, way up and way down, way up and way down. But it's more level. And God, yeah. So and thank you, Jesus, for that, for the faith of Christ in her, God, to open her up to how to drink the milk of heaven. And the milk, the land of milk and honey, and the honey realm, God, the sweetness of life, but life becomes sweet, life becomes blessed, and all right, 720-819, who am I talking to? Trump, please?
Kevin, you, they don't spook.
All right. Funny, you know, I was just thinking about the other day. Yeah, it did, and I literally was. It's like, I remember the first time that it was said that on the air, and other people even piped in and said, yeah, different you did it. I was just literally, I know this is you, I was literally kind of halfway laughing about that, but I different you did it. Literally, it's been a few days ago, but. That literally built in. So when you said that, I haven't heard that in a while from anybody, except the other day when I thought about it. So there's something about that Jeff and you kind of spook thing, meaning like for right now, like God is saying, I'm showing you how not to spook. I'm showing you how not to let the enemy spook. Sometimes the enemy will deliberately and willfully do things that he knows your weaknesses, he knows your fears, he knows the fears that people have and what he does. He tries to magnify those things, and they're not really as big as he makes them, but because of their fears that we have or things that we think, you know, people are wrong or whatever, then he starts trying to make it look like that. He's a liar and a deceiver. And you guys are going to start seeing how the devil's a lie. Wars are rumors of wars. And those wars are rumors of wars come in the realm of fears. That, you know, we all have fears and things that we think, you know, weaknesses, things that we haven't, totally been victorious over. And so... The enemy knows those things, and he tries to use them against us. But I think that thing for Jeff and you, they don't spook. You're not going to listen to it. You're not going to yield to it. You're going to, take the bait and let the debate move on without you, without a debating spirit, without that thing of, I went through a season. It was right when we left the studio. I went through a battle where people were just trying to, you know, at first I couldn't figure out what it was. Then I realized it was a strategy of the enemy trying to get me to react to their negative thing. Like, you know, just say something to me. I dare you. and they do something ugly, say something ugly, you know, act weird, act crazy, and they wanted me to respond and make a thing out of it. And when I finally figured that out, I'm going like, look, I just began to like, every time something happened, I go, hey, you know, whatever, I'm not going to mess with it. Because I caught them, I busted them, and I saw their strategy, I saw their motive. And so God's going to show you guys the motive of the enemy, the motive that people use, the things to get you into a trap, to get you into a situation where you respond to their stuff, and that way they got you, they drew you into their territory. Now they're going to start missing. And God's shown you guys how to not be spooked by that. So you, that was pretty spooky. That was just right on. I mean, well, we said that Jeff and you did a spook months ago. And I haven't thought about that in a long time until, I think, the last few days. So when you said that, it was like, kind of like, yeah, wow, and that's the truth. Jeff and you, they're not going to spook. All right, that's literally a word tonight. So you prophesied to yourself, basically. And I just confirmed it a little bit. But awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All of a sudden, the traffic slowed way down. What's going on? All right, Jeff and you, don't speak.
All right, 951-966. Can I talk to you right from, please?
Hi, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina.
Hi, Prophet.
All right, good to have you. All right, very nice to have you. All right, thank you, Jesus. It's like it's the sixth day, and on the seventh day they rested. You know, there's that work that we do, those 6 days that we work. I just saw the number six, like the sixth day. Like the sixth, not the fourth day, the fifth day, but the sixth day. In other words, the labor's almost done. On the sixth day, God, was when he finished up, you know, when God, the reason God rested wasn't because he got tired, Regina, as you know. He rested because the work was finished. So there's some kind of work. I'm not sure what that work in your family or work in your work that God's been doing. When God was working, he was making animal. First he made the earth. Then he made the sun and the moon and the stars. And, you know, then he made, you know, I don't know how he did it, what order he did it in, but when he made the earth, he made, you know, waters and the fish and they separated the waters from the land and all that, and then made trees and grass and flowers and, you know, animals and all that kind of thing. And when he got through, and he created Adam and Eve, and then he rested. Why? He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. So there's something going on. Something's being finished. When I saw the word six, it's like the number six with a PH on it, six, I knew instantly what that meant, like the sixth day, like God is, you know, letting you know that the 6 days is upon you. In other words, God's just about to finish his work. It's the last day of his work. And so thank you, Jesus, for that with Regina, Father, in Jesus' name, as you enter into that rest, that place of, you know, rest, a place of blessing, a place of we don't sweat, and God's work is done. It's finished in Jesus' name. Open that up for God. Open our mind at that, dear Jesus. To the work of Christ being completed, the work you've been doing in her, around her, her family, her life, opening up doors for her, and that place where she can rest and go, yeah, I'm taken care of. Yeah, it's finished. Yeah, it's done. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Very, very cool. Okay, I'm going to... All right, here I am. Bearing up the beaten path here, man. All right, Regina. Amen. That was a very cool word, my opinion. Awesome.
Radio. Please enter your start your show now, press 1.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
All right, had a little issue there. Okay. Yeah, give me just a minute here. I'm on the road here, and I got a little something I got to do. Give me a minute. I'll be right there. I'm sure where I'm going here. Oh, here we are. I'm doing good. Okay. All right. 847-239. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie from Illinois. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, God bringing a balance in your life, really bringing a balance to where you, your discernment level is, you know, increased. A lot of things have increased at the maturity level that you've been growing in, brings you to a place where you don't have, you know, wide ranges of emotion all the time, you know, where it's like way over this way and way over that way. And, you know, which we go through in Christ because, you know, when we start walking in the born again place, we enter into, you know, the heavenly places. And when you enter into the heavenly places, you also enter into great warfare. And so it's kind of like we learn how to deal with warfare. And people can try to teach you, but, man, it takes God to bring you through that stuff. And so we go up and down and all around and all kinds of things. And so I see God really maturing you and growing you and how you're learning and been maturing, and God's really opening you up to, you know, how to walk a more central life where you're more in the center, not lukewarm, but in that place where you're in the center, knowing you're in the center of God's will, you're in the center of that place with God where, you don't have your way up overwhelming battles all the time, always being strained and struggling and strained and striving. But learning more how to rest, learning more how to enter into that place with the Lord where, you know, you don't have those crazy battles all the time. And you're more finding yourself more secure in the Lord that when he speaks to you about something, you know he's speaking to you about it. And you may not understand it all, but you're learning how to, you know, wait on the Lord, let God, you know, help you deal with things. And it's a very beautiful place. Yeah, and you're growing closer and closer to that place. God's drawing you nigh to that, and you're entering into that place. So rejoice, man. That's a good sign that you're doing, really good. Congratulations. Really awesome. All right. All right, 702-682. Talk to you right from, please.
Lonnie, say hi.
All right.
All right, Lonnie from Colorado.
Who?
Lonnie from Colorado.
Lonnie.
All right. So thank you, Jesus, for Lonnie. And, okay, thank you, Jesus. All right, I'm trying to, I got turned around here. There we go. Okay, there I am. All right. I'm on the road going. Thank you, Jesus, for my brother, I think he said Lonnie. That was Mike saying, I guess praying for somebody named Lonnie. So thank you, Jesus, for Lonnie. Lord, we thank you that that as you cause Lonnie to learn how to rest in the Lord and not strive and struggle all the time, and learn how to discern the voice of God, and to because God's trying to teach you how to listen to the voice of God for yourself, or how to how to walk in things, so you don't always have to depend on somebody else, but then you learn how to yes, listen to people, but kind of balance it out in yourself, reason out with the Lord, reason out with the Word of God. In other words, when we reason with God, the Bible says, come and reason with me, saith the Lord. So he wants us to reason with him, but we learn to reason with God. The only kind of reason God listens to is scripture and biblical things, and people who have a heart for God. And if you don't have a heart for God, he starts showing you how to have a heart for God. So thank you, Lord, for this person in Jesus' name, that you teach them how to enter into that rest, that place to where they can trust you and know you and have confidence in you, God, and that they can know that they're hearing from God, that they're hearing the voice of God, and that God is good and God is leading them and guiding them. And do we need help? Yeah, of course. We need help. But God's leading you and guiding you into all truth. And he's going to show you that he's your shepherd, that he's your Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, y'all, I think that's all my callers tonight. I think I accidentally, that person didn't have their hand up. Maybe that's what that was. But yeah, several people don't have their hand up. So if you don't get your hand up here, and I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to get your hand up. And if you're not able to, oh, there we go.
469-533-553. I'm Barbara from Texas. How are you, sir?
Hey, Barbara. All right. Good to have you tonight, Barbara. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. We thank you, Lord, for the belt of truth, God, that you're showing her about the belt of truth, how to, fasten about your waist, how to, in your gut, in your belly area, the belt of truth, Father, for truth is the truth is really Jesus. Jesus is the living truth. There's a lot of dead truth out there. There's a lot of truth that's not real to people. There's a lot of truth that people have that they don't live in. That's just religious information to them. And God is saying that I'm showing you how to walk in the belt of truth, where the truth is a living. It's a gut feeling. It's down in your gut. It's down in your belly. You live and you think and you in your emotional area, your mental area, your gut area, where where God, the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I think it's used for the belt of truth in Barbara's life, Father, that you've shown her how to walk in that belt of truth, how to teach other people how to walk in the belt of truth, to live in that, to dwell in that. And in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hang on a second. Let's go here to 478-233.
Janice from Georgia.
Hi, Janice. Hey, Janice. Thank you, Jesus, for Janice. I just see God showing you how to breathe in the presence of God. There's something about the presence of God that God can really make simple for you, and that's how to just breathe it in. And the breath of God and the breathing in, when Jesus, it's amazing that, I don't really think about it that much, Janice, but sometimes, Jesus just said he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, he didn't just lay hands on them and start praying up a storm. He breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so when they did that,
You know, it was a breath. It was all about breath. And so God, I don't know what it is about breath. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But God is going to show you about breath and how we breathe in the presence of God, literally. It's like, it, sometimes it's like a breath. That's why Jesus breathed on them. Sometimes I see, it's like I see the Lord breathe, standing over you, breathing into you, you know, like he did the disciples, and just the breathing, the breath of God, and breathing that in and breathing it out and letting that breath, that Spirit of God, you know, just do something inside you to bless you and anoint you and cause you to be able to breathe in and breathe out, you know, like anxiety and stress and all the things that try to keep us from, you know, that cause us to breathe heavy, that cause us to have heavy breathing, that God began to show you how to breathe those things out just by simple breath. Amen. And then, you know, maybe sometimes, I don't know, you might be breathing on people to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure, but that was pretty amazing. Pretty cool. All right, 240-482.
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hi, Valerie. I think I prayed over you earlier, Valerie. I think you were earlier in the show up there. Maybe. I think you might have disappeared for a little bit, and I called your number, but I prayed over you, but let's pray over you again. So you might go back and listen to the show and listen to, I don't know where you're at in line, but maybe 15 minutes ago. Anyway, let's pray over you again. And God's showing you how to ask, because asking is everything. If you don't know how to ask, you don't receive, you know. And some people are asking for things all the time. They spend their time laboring over asking. Oh, God, please. They fast and they pray. And it's like that, you know, right now, sometimes those things are not the will of God for now. It might be later. But God does things in order. He does things in layers. He does things in, you know, layer upon layer. Here a little, there a little. You know, faith upon faith. And so I see God really showing you how to, you know, how to ask. And asking by the Spirit and letting the Spirit of God draw you into what to ask for. And so sometimes we ask for things, but we ask for them out of order. In other words, it's like trying to say, okay, God, I want green paint in my new house. And God's going like, well, what about the foundation? You know, we need to do a foundation first. You need to dig it, plumbing, you know. So, you know, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we're asking for things that are okay to ask for. But sometimes God can't give them to us because he gives them to us first in order, you know, like when you build a house, you don't paint the walls first, as you know. And you start picking out colors. You pick out where you want your plumbing and your rooms and, you know, all that. And so that comes basically one of the first things that comes. And then as the walls get built and as the sheetrock gets in there and take bed and floating and all that, and you pick out the colors, you know. And so God's shown you what order to ask for things in, and so that he can do that for you. That it, when we ask and we receive not, it's because we don't know how to ask. We don't know what to ask for. And so asking is really, really important. That's why he says ask and keep on asking. The reason we keep on asking is because we realize maybe I'm not asking for the right thing. Show me what to ask for, God. What we're asking for is not bad. For green paint that you want to paint your wall screen in your master bedroom in your new house, it's not wrong, right? But it's just like, you know, premature. So God's going to show you how to ask, in like you're building a house, in that kind of sense. And I think you're going to start seeing a lot of prayers answered because and see things get done quicker. Amen. Amen. All right. Unusual words tonight. Very cool words tonight. I really love it. All right, I think that's it for now. Everybody who's calling in, I think that's it as far as my callers go. Go here in a second. I did all this traveling on the road tonight, y'all. I'm traveling on the road. I'm in somewhere in Texas here. Really cool. All right. It's been a joy. It's been a blast. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I love the challenge of being on the road tonight, driving down the freeway and prophesying to people. Man, that was really cool. Really amazing. I'll try that again. That was really fun. All right. Nobody says their hand up right now, so I'm going to somebody doesn't get their hand up pretty quick, I'm going to call it a night. And it's 11:22 my time, 1122. I think that's maybe significant somehow or another. All right, I'm going to give you a minute here and let you get a chance to get your hand up. Hallelujah. All right, we got a caller with their hand up. I think this is 863-808. Am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
All right, Cheryl from Florida. All right. All right, Cheryl, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the ability to, gosh, really, you know, love, when love is guiding you and love is leading you, love has to make some very difficult decisions sometimes. Love has to, you know, choose, you know, things. And it's really, you know, weighing things out with love is an amazing thing. It's amazing. And I see God really bringing you to a place of being able to make decisions, based out of, a heart that yearns for love and for what's best in God's eyes for a person. And choosing things that may not be pleasing to yourself, but that are pleasing to the Lord. And God really is showing you how to, helping you, letting the love become your aim and your goal, that it's all about love. It's all about love. And what real love is, not just not human love. Human love is beautiful. Human love is very limited. Human love is very prejudiced and very much respect your person at times. And they can't always discern what is right about for a person. All right, a little distraction there, driving down the road, probably not. So, love is the thing, the love of God. I'm talking about the love of God. The love of God, we're going to find out, we're going to learn that the love of God is different than our love. And, when you love with God's love, it ends up being, sometimes the decisions that we make are completely different. It's like God choosing to, when God loves, sometimes he makes people suffer. It's hard to understand, Cheryl, how that God could, be pleased with Christ's suffering. But when you realize that love was paying a price, that love was saying, I'm going to let my own son suffer death, and not just death, but suffering, lots of bad, major suffering. And yet it pleased the Lord. And love looks at things in some of the most unusual ways. And so God really being able to show you how to walk in the love of the Father in a way that you've never seen before. And I don't think I know that love either. That's pretty amazing love, but to show you how to make decisions out of that, and how God thinks, what He loves, what He does things, and how sometimes it seems so cold and so whatever, so unloving, and yet it's the most loving thing He's ever done when He let His son suffer. When Mary was watching her own son suffer, it was the Father was pleased with that, and that's what love does. Love looks at things in the most unusual way. And so God's showing you how to look at love, how to flow in love, the love of the Father, and make decisions from that, knowing what's, best for, like, when He's letting Jesus be whipped and beaten, to be beaten to a bloody pulp. It was all about, for us,
Yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that love. And showing her, helping her, God, in Jesus' name. All right, 734-672, who am I talking to you from, please?
Jennifer from Michigan.
Say it again, please.
Jennifer from Michigan.
Jennifer, Michigan. Okay, thank you. Hang on a minute. Hi, Jennifer. On the road tonight, so I'm out. All right. Thank you, Jennifer, Paula. Thank you, Paula, for showing her how to eat from your table, how your food is free, doesn't cost anything, that you want to give her revelation from heaven, you know? And we live off revelation from people who sell it to us. It so defiles it that it doesn't really do any good. And God teaching you how to eat from the table of the Lord, and His food is free, it doesn't cost anything. It's already all been paid for, across the Calvary. You paid for everything, purchased everything, paid for everything. And God's showing you how to eat, what food you need when you need it. Sometimes we need broccoli more than other times. Sometimes we need meat. Sometimes we need more veggies. Sometimes we need sugars like, apples, avocados, things. And God's showing you how to eat, so you can be healthy. It's like in the natural realm. There's food that feeds your brain, like avocados. It's kind of a big brain food. Different foods. That protein gives you, gives you strength. Different things that natural food does, that if you don't do it, eventually you suffer from it, and you don't think clearly, your system doesn't work correctly.
Yeah.
Even water. Water is a big thing, but it's a common thing, the regular thing, the daily thing. But it's without it, you can't live. And God's showing you how to eat and drink from the table of the Lord that will nurture your brain, the mind of Christ in you, that nurture your spirit, your body, that will cause you to fall in love with Jesus more, because that's what eating meat from the master's favor does. Eating food from the master's favor, it causes you to love Him, it causes you to want Him. That's what His food does. It it makes you want more. It's like when you eat somebody's food that you really like, oh, man, I got to have more of that. That's where Jesus, his intentions and motive is to, I want her to really like this. Look, she wants more of me. Yeah, so throw that round, Father, in Jesus' name, how to eat, what to eat. And put the best for her in Christ. Amen. All right, everybody, I think that's it for the night. Thank you very much for being with us. Call tonight. Bye.